Today's reading comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Did everybody find Revelation? Yeah, just look in the very back. All right. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Hear now these words. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testified the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of the prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom of priests, serving his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierce him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth shall wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother, who shared with you in Jesus the persecution and the kingdom and the patient endurance, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write in the book what you see and send to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see whose voice it was that spoke to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, I saw one like the Son of Man, clothed in a long robe, and with a golden sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white as white wool, white as snow. His eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were burnished bronze, refined as in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining with full force. When I saw him, I fell to his feet as though dead. But he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Now write what you have seen, what is, and what is to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels, the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. This morning I want to talk to you about a new song. And I want to talk about how the book of Revelation is full of songs and how it also has inspired songs. Now, we live in a culture where most folks think of Revelation, they think of all sorts of death and destruction, because that's what sells books and movies. It's books about doom, gloom, and despair. But the reason the early Christians read Revelation, because it was a book of hope. They lived in a time of persecution. And here's John. And folks disagree whether it's John the Apostle or a different John, because it's a common name. But this poor guy got in trouble with the Roman authorities for preaching about Jesus, and they threw him in exile on the island of Patmos. and it was on his island Paphos that he got a visit from Jesus and had the vision of Jesus in all his glory. And so we have this vision in Christ with a white robe, golden sash, like a high priest. He's referred to as the Son of Man. That's a word Jesus used, a term that comes out of the book of Daniel. Daniel talked about how he saw the Ancient of Days, that'd be God, and then one like the Son of Man come sit next to him. That'd be Jesus. It talks about how he'd have feet like brass and eyes like fire. About his mouth with a two-edged sword. That's symbolic, talking about his gospel, sharper than a two-edged sword. It talks about how he was brighter than the sun. Remember how a few weeks ago we talked about Saul getting pulled over with a light brighter than the sun? He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the voice said, "It is Jesus whom you are persecuting." Saul saw the Lord in his glory. And when I read this passage, I'm reminded of a gospel song by a group called the Happy Goodmans back in the day. One of the brothers, a guy named Rusty Goodman, was a great songwriter. He wrote several great songs like Leaving on My Mind and I Believe He's Coming Back for Me. But he wrote one called John the Revelator. And it has that great verse about, he saw John the Revelator, saw Jerusalem coming down. John the Revelator. And when he looked around, he saw feet like brass, eyes like fire. Heard a loud voice saying, "Come on higher." John the Revelator wrote about the city of God. And that's what this book is. It's a letter from John the Revelator to these seven churches. And talks about how when he turns around, he sees seven lamps. Each lamp represents a church. And look who is in the midst of those lamps, in the midst of the church, Jesus himself. And so Jesus has a message for each of his seven churches. That's what we now call in modern-day Turkey. And some of the churches are facing some dire persecution. At one point, he talks about how, "I know in your church, this person was killed for the faith." Other churches are somewhere in the middle here. They're trying to figure out, how do I be a Christian without accommodating such? And then, unfortunately, the last church, Laodicea, they had it easy squeezy. And he has some rather harsh words to them. Okay. Jesus tells the church, "I reprove and discipline those whom I love. Be earnest, therefore, and repent. Look, I am standing at the door, knocking. If you hear my voice, open the door. I will come into you and eat with you, and you with me." Now, and a lot of times we use that verse when dealing with folks who are not Christians, who are lost, and talk about Jesus knocking the door of their heart. And I certainly would not criticize someone for using that analogy. But in this letter, he's knocking the door of the church. The church has locked out Jesus. And there he is, standing and knocking. You know, we have a hymn in our hymnal called, "Who at My Door Is Standing, Patiently Drawing Near, Entrance Within Demanding, Who Is the Voice I Hear? All through the dark hours dreary, knocking again is He. Jesus, art Thou not weary, waiting so long for me?" And fortunately, the very last verse says, "Door my heart I will open, Thee I will open wide. Though He rebuke and chasten, He shall with me abide." Now, here's Jesus right in his church saying, "I'm outside your door knocking because you locked me out." Well, after these seven letters to the churches, we get chapter 4, verse 1. And John hears, "Come on up." Remember when Price is right, "Come on down." This is, "Come on up." And John, the Revelator, gets transported into the throne room of heaven. Isaiah, the prophet, had been there before. Ezekiel had been there before. And now John gets a front row seat. He gets there, and there's the Heavenly Father at his throne, the rainbow around it. You got 24 elders. 12 of those represents the 12 disciples. 12 of those represents the 12 tribes of Israel and their leaders. And then you have these living creatures. The first like a lion, second like an ox, the third like a human face, the fourth like a flying eagle. And all day and night they sing a song without ceasing. What song do they sing? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Where have you heard that before, I wonder? Yeah, that's in our hymnal, isn't it? He didn't make that up. He just got that out of Revelation. And he goes on to say, and whenever living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to one who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall before the one who is seated on the throne and worship the one who lives forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne. Casting down their golden crowns beyond the glassy sea. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. The songwriters stole that whole song out of Revelation chapter 4. And listen to this song they sing. You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Here is a key concept of Revelation. In Revelation, we are worshiping the Creator who gives life. What's happened? Evil has come in this world to destroy life, destroy His creation. And so in Revelation, we have the showdown between the author of life versus the powers of death and darkness. Well, in chapter 5, we have a situation where the one on the throne has a scroll with seven seals. And the angel asks, who is worthy to open the break the seals and open the scroll? Who is worthy? And so, like a good Methodist church, they get a committee. And the committee looks on the earth, under the earth, in the sky. And what does this say? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and to look on it. And so John begins to weep bitterly. And the angel slaps him around, or one of the elders says, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. So one of the elders says, John, quit crying. Look, here comes the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now John turns and looks. Now he's expecting to see a lion, L-I-O-N. Okay, crossword puzzle. Animal, four letters, starts the letter L. Lion, right? And when you think of lion, we think of what? Powerful, royalty, like Lion King, right? But when John turns and looks, what does he see? Not a lion, L-I-O-N, but a lamb, L-A-M-B. A lamb standing as it had been slaughtered. Who was that? And then it talks about the saints sing a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you are slaughtered, and by your blood you ransom for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and elders. And they numbered myriads and myriads, thousands and thousands, singing in full voice. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might, and honor and glory and blessing. And then I heard every creature in heaven, and on earth, under the earth and the sea, all them singing, to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessings and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And all the living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worship.
And so when this lamb appears, open this grove, a little worship party breaks out. You know, we have a song in our hymnal. Crown him with many crowns. Okay. Now, if you didn't know your Bible and you just showed up to church one day and didn't know anything, you probably get confused. Like, well, I'm confused. The man, he says about a lion, then somebody, a lamb, showed up. Well, who's this lamb? Well, listen to the lyrics to Crown with Many Crowns, not the first two verses. Crown him with many crowns, the lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but his own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king throughout all eternity. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. So who is it that's both a lion and a lamb? Well, that would be Jesus. Lion in all his glory, and yet he laid it aside, become like a lamb. Remember how John the Baptist said, this is the lamb that has God sent into the world, the Lamb of God. And so we crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. And maybe you've heard songs like, "No worthy is Lamb that is slain." Okay, that's where that comes from. It comes to this passage in Revelation where Jesus appears and he's described as like the Lamb slain for us. And then one by one by one, he breaks the seals. Of course, the first four seals, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, bring disaster upon the earth. Verse 9 talks about the fifth seal. I saw on the altar the souls of those who had been slaughtered for the word of God and the testimony they had given. They cried with a loud voice, Sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long will it be before you judge and avenge our blood on the inhabitants of the earth? They were given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number be complete, both of their fellow servants and their brothers and sisters, who are soon to be killed, as they themselves have been killed. You know, we did a psalm a little while ago where the psalmist asked the Lord, Lord, what's going on here? This is time for some justice. And here John sees these souls of folks who have been killed for the Christian faith. And they're saying, how long ago, Lord? And he says, just a little while longer. Right now, just rest. There'll be more to come to join you, but judgment is coming. Well, in chapter 7, we have inspiration for another song. In chapter 7, they do a roll call of 12,000 people from each of the Jewish tribes. And so John, again, he turns to look, and he's expecting to see a bunch of Jewish people. And again, he gets surprised. And after this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes, and peoples, and languages, standing before the throne and for the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne, and around the elders, the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And then one of the elders addressed me, saying, Who are these robed in white, and where do they come from? And I said to them, Well, sir, you're the one who knows that. And he said, These are the ones who come out of the great ordeal, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Okay. So in the first part, John says, I turn and look, and I see this great number of folks that cannot be numbered from every tribe, and every nation. No, we have a hymn, a song, when the saints go marching in. All right. Oh, Lord, I won't be in that number when the saints go marching in. And when you look at the song in its entirety, it's about the book of Revelation, God's judgment, and how, Lord, I won't be in that number, the crowd that no one can number, as the saints go marching in. And then when the elder said, John, oh, who are these folks dressed in white? And he says, well, I don't know. You tell me. And he says, they've been washed white in the blood of the Lamb. You know, we got a good Southern gospel song about that, don't we? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? No. Are your garments spotless? Are your garments white? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? And so this is why they sing before the Lord. For the Lamb is the center of the throne and will be their shepherd. He will guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Well, the vision goes on, and we see the forces of evil rise up and then destroyed. Okay. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Now, where have we heard that from? Handel's Messiah, right? The kingdoms of this world has become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. Handel didn't write those lyrics. He just got that out of his Bible and on the music. I'll give him credit for the music part. But the lyrics he got straight out of Revelation. You know, when he first performed that in England, and they did the Hallelujah Chorus, and we always think it's the grand finale. It's not. There's still more songs after that. But the King of England was in the audience at the time, according to the legend. And when he heard about King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he shall reign forever and ever, amen, he was so moved that he stood up. And you know today, like a King Charles III comes in and stands up, we all got to stand up. And so when the king stood up, during Handel's Messiah's performance of the Hallelujah Chorus, everybody had to stand up. And that's why if you go to a performance today, they'll tell you, we're getting ready to do the Hallelujah Chorus, everybody stand up. Because, you know, there might have been a King of England, but there's only one King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that was Jesus. And it goes on to say, the elders fall on their face, singing, we give you thanks, Lord God Almighty, who are, who were, for you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations rage, but your wrath has come, and the time for judging the dead, for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and saints who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying those who destroy the earth. Listen to that. Not only is he rewarding the righteous, but he is destroying those who destroy the earth. The Creator is upset that somebody is destroying his creation. That'd be the devil and his allies. And he goes on to talk about God's judgment. Revelation 14 talks about a great sickle and talks about the winepress of the wrath of God. You know, there's a song we have called that we do a lot of times on July 4th. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord, right? He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He released the lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. The Bahamian Republic. Well, she didn't make those lyrics up by herself. She stole that out of Revelation. She saw that during the Civil War, like, this is God's punishment against us. And that's where she got it from. And then we have another song. Great and amazing are your deeds, Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Lord, who will not fear and glorify your name, for you alone are holy, and the nations will come and worship before you, for your judgments have been revealed. And then chapter 19, we get the famous part where he talks about hallelujah, 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 which also helped inspire the Hallelujah Chorus.
Did you also get the part about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? No, again, that's part of Handel's Messiah. And then at the end, we see Jerusalem coming down. Okay? This Jerusalem. It said, the angel talked to me, had a measuring rod of gold, the measure of the city. The city lies four square. In the ancient world, that means it was perfect. No, we just sung a song, I Want to Be Ready. John said the city was just four square. Walk in Jerusalem, just like John. No, that should be our goal, to walk in the Jerusalem. Jerusalem comes down from heaven, and we want to walk into it. And then chapter 22, it says, the angel showed me a river of water of life, bright as a crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, if you looked, the hymn we just sung was written in 1864 by Reverend Robert Lowry, a Baptist preacher from New York during the Civil War. And in the Civil War, there was stories about how the rivers would flow with blood. And Robert Lowry was inspired by this chapter. So I was like, let's go at the river. Not the one that flows with blood from war, but the river that flows by the throne of God. And then at the end, Jesus says, surely I am coming soon. And John says, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And I'm reminded of a song back in the 70s. A songwriter, he was kind of discouraged. His wife was having his first baby, and he thought, this is a terrible time to have a kid. You got drugs going on, the Vietnam War. This is an awful time to have a child. And then he had the baby, and got thinking, you know, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. That was Bill Gaither. And he also wrote a song about how the king is coming, and thank God he's coming for me. And that's how John was. Thank God that king is coming for me. And so this morning I want to encourage you not to be out here when you turn on news, doom, gloom, and despair. There's an entire book that filled up half the hymn book of songs of praise and glory to Christ our Savior, who is coming again. And when he comes again, evil will be vanquished, death and the devil will be out of business, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. All right. And at this time, I invite you to open your Methodist hymnal to page 12 as we come for our time of communion. All right. It's on page 12, beginning with the invitation.